the murderer do haunt their murderers, I believe. I know that ghosts have wandered on earth. Be with me always, take any form, drive me mad. Only do not leave me in this abyss, where I cannot find you. Emily Bronte, Wuthering Heights. Rooms have character, whether it's a bank with its marble floors and pillars, telling you this is where the money lives, or a cozy room at the beach inviting you to relax, read a book, and let the sounds of the ocean carry you away. A person's home or apartment says volumes about who they are. Not the neighborhood or the square footage, but the books, the clutter, or lack thereof, the smells and choices of color. To say this room was basic would almost be a compliment compared to the vanilla reality, the lack of personality that encompassed the place. It was neither dark nor light. No identifiable color graced the wall. No particular pattern on the industrial carpet. A relatively drab bunk bed covered one wall, and a simple built-in desk along the other. The room was a small, square, more of a box or a cell than a living space. The smell was not unpleasant in and of itself, but it had no texture, no depth. The desk chair in the center of the room, currently occupied by a naked, handcuffed, nervous young man, was nothing more than a hard surface to plant your backside. It wasn't designed for relaxation. It was meant to hold the body of a new person every year. Nobody was going to take it home. Nobody was going to reminisce 10 years down the line wishing they could find one just like it. The one thing that could be said about this room, and thousands of identical dwellings across the planet, was it brought back memories. A person couldn't be in this environment without having remembrances of the good and bad days of one's freshman year in college. The days of learning, exploring, conquering, and failing. The bittersweet memories of a past life seep into your soul the minute you walk in. Flashbacks invade your mind, your heart, your emotions. Remembering the first day your parents dropped you off and helped carry in your bags. Your first friend from college. Your first awful roommate. Your first true love out of high school. The nights sitting with your friends discussing the future. The guilty nights of pleasure making love with your college crush while your roommate was away. It all floods back unwillingly, both pains and joys. Unlike the good old days, there was no noise, no music, no young men and women running through the halls. The building was abandoned, lonely, empty of the energy that it exudes during the school year. This room was special. It was owned and maintained, not for young minds preparing for a bright future, but an education would be had nonetheless. When the evening activities were completed, the room would be sanitized and sealed to patiently wait for its next temporary resident. As the night progressed, the room, no longer a solid constant, would change. The lights would dim without assistance. The walls would take on the specter of foreboding shadows. The smell would become acrid with fear and bodily fluids. New memories would be made this night. Ones that would last a lifetime and never leave. Never again would a pleasant memory of better days be able to override the darkness in this boy's mind. It was as it should be. Sitting on the bunk bed was another resident, patiently waiting for the boy to regain consciousness. Watching, staring, collecting his thoughts and making his plans for the evening. It wasn't the first time this tall, lanky man with piercing blue eyes had performed this ritual, but it was never easy. It required the right frame of mind, the sublimation of guilt and morals. Meditation and emptying one's mind would get him through this. It always had in the past. Child, I remember visiting you that final week, commenting on how small the room was. I knew you were troubled, sad, depressed. I could tell by your actions, the state of your clothes, the mess in your room. Why didn't I grab you in my arms, carry you away, bring you home? How could I not have known that you were trying to survive? How could I have been so blind to the pain of my own child? I'll make it up to you. I promise. One man, one boy, one atrocity at a time. I won't rest until you do. I won't quit until I no longer see your beautiful face in that casket during my waking hours. Every man I destroy makes your image fade in my brain more and more. How many until you're gone? How many until you quit haunting my days, possessing my nights? Ms. Dawkins, you have a call on line 2. She says it's an old friend, but wouldn't give me your name. Instead, she told me to tell you, 2 shots of tequila and I'll lick your limes? Does that make any sense to you, or should I just take a message? With an enormous effort to maintain her dignity, the woman known as the face of the foundation, for the betterment of man, controlled her quivering lips with a throat-clearing cough before she chose to respond. Yes, that's a code that we sometimes use to, never mind, I'll take the call. Before she could get the words, "Hello, this is Susan Dawkins," out of her still twitching mouth, the fast-talking and frequently obnoxious voice on the other end of the phone jumped in to fill the brief heartbeat of silence that had built up. "Susan, where'd you get that stuck-up, stuffy bitch of an assistant from? You think I just told her that you were late for your oral sex class and I'd be there in an hour to fill you in on what you missed?" "Jacqueline, stop. You're killing me. What can I..." "Anyway, so I was thinking. I'm in town for the evening and I'm stuck in this cheap-ass hotel room the agency booked for me, and Jesus, I knew you wouldn't be doing anything since you have no life, and I haven't seen you in months. So I thought, what the I'd call you and save you from another night of boredom. You haven't taken a breath since college, have you? And while I can get a word in edgewise, when are you going to quit talking like you just walked out of the hood and admit that you are the second smartest woman to graduate in our class? A close second, I'll grant you. But second, nonetheless. Oh, that's how it is. If I hadn't spent the night before the Psych 201 final freshman year in Assface's dorm room and pulled a B, my only B, by the way, you wouldn't be talking trash like that. Now, you going to meet me for drinks tonight or what?